activism begins with ACT. The Rush Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back. Today in our activist agenda, we're rejoined by the gentleman who joined us yesterday for this segment of the show. Ryan Denham from Arkansans for Compassionate Care is with us. And Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Russ.
You know, I wish we could have gotten you back for some better news, but of course we led with the story today that I picked up this morning when I first woke up, and that is the sad news of the Arkansas Supreme Court invalidating Issue 7. Can you fill our listeners in on some of the details of that? What exactly happened here?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously some pretty devastating news for us. You know, about 9, 10 o'clock this morning, we were informed that the Supreme Court of Arkansas kicked Issue 7 off the ballot. And it's really kind of crazy, and for them to, you know, early voting has been going on since Monday. So hundreds of thousands of people have already cast their vote for Issue 7 and or Issue 6. And it's just insane that they could come out with a ruling in the middle of, you know, early voting. But, you know, a lot of this hinged on what was a technical versus a clerical error. You know, there's a lot of different things canvassers had to fill out. Every signature that they counted was indeed a valid signature, and these signers filled out these signatures on the correct form. So, you know, we had the signatures, and, you know, this other side has sued us to kick us off. The other interesting thing to note, Russ, is that state law actually changed twice while we were getting signatures. So we had a very complicated web to go through. So we actually had three different signature state laws that we had to navigate throughout this process. And that also proved to be quite complicated.
Now, for people that don't know, the governor of Arkansas is Asa Hutchinson. He was a former DEA administrator. Is there any evidence or concern that he might have had a hand in this, or that there's some sort of shenanigans going on to try to get your initiative disqualified?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speculate too far, but, you know, obviously, Asa Hutchinson, former DEA administrator, was completely against our initiative. He's put pressure on multiple state agencies to oppose us. So, you know, I don't want to speculate any further, but, you know, they threw everything they had at us. And, you know, we're going to continue to fight this. Our attorney is looking into this right now and seeing what our options are. You know, in the meantime, we've made the tough decision, I think the smart decision, to tell people to vote yes on both initiatives to ensure, you know, at least something passes.
Now, this is troubling to me because, as you mentioned, early voting's been going on since Monday. The reports I've seen have said there's been about 142,000 people that have already voted. And the concern would be that there could be some of them out there who preferred Issue 7 and may have voted for Issue 7 and against Issue 6, who would have voted for Issue 6 if it was the only thing available. Is that something that might be a concern for you guys and maybe a part of a lawsuit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, no, we've seen dozens of comments, you know, on social media, people like, well, can I go back and switch my vote to 6 now? And, you know, obviously you can't do that. And I mean, that's why we were, you know, asking people to vote for both, you know, from the beginning. But yeah, it's really insane that a court could make a ruling, you know, in the middle of early voting. I don't think they should have taken the case to begin with because it was so late in the game to even, you know, try to look at this entire case. So, you know, we're having our attorney look at it and seeing what our options are, but, you know, we're trying to stay positive as much as possible and, you know, tell people to go out there and think about the patients, you know, think about, you know, person that really needs this medicine. And, you know, it's a difficult decision for a lot of our volunteers that have worked so hard on this campaign and especially to support 6 for a lot of these people, when that's the group that sued us. But, you know, we're telling people to think critically to go out and support both and think about the patients that have so much in jeopardy right now.
Exactly. It's difficult for people that put so much of their heart and soul into an initiative campaign like this to understand it, but you can't take it personally. You have to look at the bigger picture, and that is what is going to help the patients out. Your guys' next shot, if 6 is to fail, your next shot is probably what, 2020?
Yeah, you know, 2018 or 2020. 2020 is probably the better route to go with being a presidential election. But, you know, it's a long time for patients to wait, obviously. You know, this isn't, as you know, Russ, this isn't just a political campaign. This is a life or death situation for many people out there. And that's why it's just tragic that this other group would try to come on, sue us, you know, run a competing campaign, because we really had the dream team campaign. I strongly believe that our campaign would have passed no problem if we were the only ones on the ballot. But to have to deal with a competing campaign and to, you know, fight all these opposition groups, it was just, you know, it was a lot to deal with.
Now, you mentioned the suit coming from the competing campaign. The suit itself was filed by Kara Benka, a normal legal committee lifetime member there in Arkansas. But you do believe that they were in collusion with the Issue 6 campaign?
Well, you know, I mean, the attorney that works for Issue 6 said that he provided information to the other campaign. So, you know, that's the only connection I can actually make right there. Okay. But, you know, it's pretty clear that they had, you know, a lot to do with it.
All right. So what is the campaign's move now? Have you filed a lawsuit? Are you going to file a lawsuit? And could really anything be done in time to save Issue 7 for the election?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, we've heard, you know, some people have some legal scholars have chimed in and told us that they can't, you know, kick you off while early voting is actually going on, that this should have been decided before this. I don't know if that to be true or not. Unfortunately, our attorney's been tied up in a really important court case in another state today. So he's, you know, he's actually still in court right now, as far as I understand. So he hasn't had a significant amount of time to look into this for us yet. And you know, we're a grassroots campaign. You know, we've existed on small donations this entire time. So, you know, we don't have these, you know, big special interest money to run this massive campaign. So we've came really far. But you know, the move now is, like I said, you know, get out there, continue to vote for both issues, so that will ensure no matter what happens, something will pass. But, you know, Russ, the unfortunate thing is, you know, this is all over the news. People are saying Issue 7 is kicked off the ballot. There's you know, signs at the polling locations. So that's certainly going to dip down our support for Issue 7 right now, even if we do somehow continue to stay on the ballot.
Wow. All right. So the other thing I wanted to mention here, in researching this morning, I found comments from the Governor Hutchinson, saying that this is a reason why the petitioning rules need to be changed. The deadlines need to be moved further back so that when there is a problem, we don't run into this overlap. Is that something you agree with or have heard about?
Yeah, I mean, I might be open to that. I mean, it is possible that the deadlines might be too close. We actually turned in quite a bit before our original deadline, so I don't know if that really would have made a difference in our case. But the other campaigns turned in, you know, at the last minute. But, you know, just a few years ago, they've actually changed the initiative process twice in response, not really to our campaigns, but other big special interest campaigns that have had problems. So, you know, it's unfortunate. It's an attack on democracy. And, you know, we're going to fight to maintain a strong initiative process. If it needs to be tweaked a little bit, that's possible. But we want to make sure that the bulk of our initiative rights are sustained.
Another related story to this is word from one of the Arkansas legislators that said he plans to file a bill for a more limited, maybe a CBD oil type of medical marijuana through legislation should Issue 6 fail. Is that a worry for the campaign that it might undercut some of the support for passing something more broad?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was obviously politically motivated. This representative, you know, we don't have a session going on right now, so it's not actually filed as a bill, but, you know, this guy's saying that he's going to file it, you know, next year when the session starts. But, you know, clearly, you know, a last-ditch attempt to try to make some voters on the fence, you know, think that, hey, the legislature can take care of this, so I don't need to vote for either of these initiatives. So, you know, it's sad that, you know, they tried to do that at the last minute. This representative, you know, could have introduced a bill, you know, a few years ago or could have talked to us about, you know, a stronger medical cannabis bill. And, you know, I think this is probably, you know, some pressure from the governor to try to sway voters at the last minute.
Yeah, we saw a similar experience in Ohio after its legalization failed in 2015 when MPP came back in 2016 with a medical campaign. Their legislature undercut them by passing a terrible medical marijuana law, a very limited one. So we hope that doesn't happen for you in Arkansas, and we wish you the best of luck on getting something passed. We hope something good happens for 7, but if it's got to be Issue 6, folks, vote for that. It's better than nothing. Ryan Denham from Arkansans for Compassionate Care, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck on everything.
All right. Thanks so much, Russ.
You're welcome. All right. Stay tuned, folks. When we come back, we're going to be speaking to Mr. J. Timms out of Southern California, an African-American cannabis business owner looking to increase minority inclusion and community support from cannabis businesses. I'm Radical Russ, the Russ Belville Show here on Cannabis Radio, live from Portland, Oregon.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.